Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
I'd like to say something.
This is Dirt and Spray.
Back in 82, I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
God, there was one week when you wore sweatpants every day.
Oh, you know what? If they were Sean John sweatpants, it would have been fine. But because they're Costco brand, it's like the worst thing I could do.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Well, all right, welcome back in. Second hour, Jeff Bezos free. Although we want to tuck all you in at night. Hey, one listener say, damn it, guys, I was reading the Bezos text and I missed the code word.
Oh, and I told Dirt during the commercial break, I had never seen the Tiger Woods text messages.
Oh, you haven't?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what I spent the last commercial break doing. And I told Dirt, I couldn't pull myself together to do the cash locker. Luckily, I did, but man.
Are you allowed to tell us what the word is again?
No.
Oh.
No, we're not.
What was it, Dirt? Joe doesn't do it. He can't get in trouble. Why don't we do it?
I didn't.
I'm pretty sure that time has passed. Like,
I wasn't
it has
listening.
To be within a certain.
Yeah, I was not paying attention. I don't know what the word was.
And like
sorry.
I said, Tiger's words in his text got me flummoxed over here that I can't focus anymore. Tiger is a freak.
Yep, told you.
My God.
Welcome to the Tiger Woods story via 2009, Joe.
10 years later.
Welcome to the program.
Well done.
Okay, so let's talk about the Portland Diamond Project news. We also have Antonio Brown news. I want to get to this. Willamette Weekly put a story out via their writer. Let me give proper credit. Rachel Monahan. I don't know. She wrote back in 03, group of locals, including the Portland mayor, Vera Katz. They basically created the $150 million bond, the Senate Bill 5, as it's called, for Major League Baseball. It was an attempt to lure MLB franchise to Portland, but it fizzled and stayed on the books and has served as a potential source of funding for the Portland Diamond Project, the group currently trying to bring MLB to Portland. But under new legislation that will soon be introduced by Oregon Senate Majority Leader... You're going to help me with that first name.
Ginny, I believe.
Ginny?
I think it's Ginny. I think it's a Ginny.
Okay. Jenny Burdick of Portland and others, the earlier law known as Senate Bill 5 would be repealed. Could be a major setback for the Portland Diamond Project. Their officials have come out and basically said it's a way for them not to seek public money, and it also helps them, which is obvious. They've always said they want to keep everything private, but having $150 million there is pretty helpful. They have come out and stated that they do not agree with this, and she's not the only one with the feelings on this. Burdick is joined by Lori Mons Anderson of Gresham, Floyd Prazansky of Eugene, Chuck Riley in Hillsborough, Susan McClain in Hillsborough, and Tana Sanchez of Portland. All have similar bills or are sponsoring this bill. Right now in the House, Burdick is the Senate's second most powerful member, and if she makes it a priority, the legislation would have a good chance of passing, given that both chambers, of course, are controlled by Democrats, to which everybody in Portland, Democrat, Republican, I think are all collectively going, why do you need to repeal this?
Why? 16 years later. So the Portland Diamond Project, their spokesman came out at a comment, said none of the $150 million bond currently exists today, and it won't exist until the team comes to Oregon and begins paying its employees and players. SB 5 also helps protect the state and city from needing to raise or spend taxpayer dollars on a ballpark. This lets the teams themselves have skin in the game and help pay for the portion of the ballpark. And that was, I think, the surprise for people was, This isn't $150 million that is currently sitting somewhere that could be used for something else.
It's not just in a bank account.
It's not just in a bank account. It's not in a vault somewhere. It doesn't exist. It is all simply on paper, and it will not come into effect until we get a Major League Baseball team. And if the Portland Diamond Project fails and we don't get a baseball team, guess what? This $150 million is never going to exist. It is only based on the taxation of players' salary once we get Major League Baseball. It's been on the books for 16 years. This passed in 2003. It's now 2019. 16 years this has been sitting around. Never been repealed. It's never been talked about. It's just simply sat there. And now kind of out of left field, it's brought up and they're trying to repeal it. What I was told, I just reached out to some. I'm not that plugged in with local government, so I don't know what the hell is going on and what they're trying to accomplish by this. Essentially, what I was told was Democrats, of course, had a big victory in November, and they are trying to raise $2 billion in revenue. Somehow, some way, they're looking to get to the number of $2 billion in new revenue. And they looked at this $150 million. They looked at the chance of Portland to get a Major League Baseball team, and they thought, decent little dent. Let's throw that into the mix.
Right.
I was told that there's a good chance that this bill eventually gets killed, but it's kind of determined on a couple of things. And this is where you have to be engaged with the process if you want Major League Baseball to eventually come to Portland. We knew at some point politicians were going to throw a curveball at us. We thought maybe it was going to be Ted Wheeler, but so far he's actually been great. And the city officials have actually been really great. So it's coming out of left field to us from the state legislature. You need to reach out. Like, if this is something that's important to you and you want Major League Baseball to come to this city, you need to reach out to your representative and say, I don't want you to support this bill because it is going to go up for a vote and they're going to have a chance to take this away. The Portland Diamond Project doesn't need the money, but they are, I'm assuming they have used this $150 million as a part of their estimate because they didn't see this coming. So this would create a $150 million gap, essentially, in my mind, of the money that they have, and then they would have to go out and raise that new money. So if you want it, go reach out to your representative and say, please vote against this. I would love to have Major League Baseball come to the city of Portland.
I don't understand the benefits of doing this.
It's just to raise revenue. They don't think professional sports will do it. And if we get a baseball team, they're looking at all of the taxation of player salary.
Right.
And they're going to say that's $150 million we can throw into the coffers to pay for something else.
Because all the ideas they've come up with have worked so well.
Right.
Right. Right. Yeah, okay.
Well, and I think the other big thing now, too,
what is wrong with these people? By the way, this isn't just Portland. I just mentioned Chuck Riley is in Eugene.
Yeah, no, it's a statewide thing.
It's a statewide thing.
Floyd Prezanski's in Eugene as well. I've met him before doing a project.
Oh, humble brag.
At UofO a long time ago.
Yeah, Floyd Prezanski is in Eugene. I'm sorry, Chuck Riley is in Hillsboro, so yeah.
Yeah, that guy seems like a cool dude, so I don't see why he would be against baseball.
I don't think it's anything against sports. They have a goal of getting money. $2 billion in revenue, and they are going through every line in the budget and trying to find where can we get extra pennies. And this is $150 million that if you think the Diamond Project will happen either way, maybe they do. They're saying they don't need our money. They have it privately funded. We can take all of the player's salary, and $150 million of it doesn't have to go pay for that stadium. But I think the other thing that this does, it puts pressure, in my opinion, on people that have vested business interests in Major League Baseball coming to Portland. And I think those kind of groups, whether it's business owners or people involved some way or somehow, you need to come out and just be outspoken at this point and say, like, this is ridiculous. Why would you try and knock our chances of creating jobs, creating entertainment, creating something that so many in the city have wanted for so long? It's the reason it passed in 2003 and had support from the mayor of Portland in 2003. Why would you go back on something that like that right now? You need to be outspoken, whether you're an individual voter or you're a business owner, if you want to try and kill this bill.
Well, if they have anybody on their team, any assistants that monitor social media, I think they've realized within the last hour or so that this is not being well received by anybody. We had somebody that tweeted us something of, I thought they had the money. Why do they need this? To which I just responded, because it's $150 million that helps them.
Right.
And this is more about the principle. Like, why do you need to dip into this? Why do you need to step up and try to take this away, especially for a venture that's bringing you something you've never had before? And in my opinion, is going to only help your city and your state. And of course, you know, I haven't heard back from that person yet, so I don't know. But I don't have a feeling this is being well received by anybody. I think if you were to search Twitter or Facebook, if it's on there or anything where you can comment, it feels like a majority of people are just once again frustrated by political leaders in our state wondering, what the hell are you guys doing? Do you even know what you're doing? Or are you just going through everything and saying, oh, we want a bigger budget. Here's a way we can get $150 million that we're probably going to be really stupid with. I mean, how much did they spend on that dumb bridge study? Was that $80 million or something?
I don't know. I can't remember.
There's an example right there of just, really, we needed to do a study that basically led to no conclusion?
And for the people who are texting in and saying this is so Portland, that's the funny part. Yeah. This actually isn't Portland.
Oh, no, I mean, this is a statewide thing.
Some of the politicians are from Portland, and yes, the majority leader is from Portland, but you have Hillsborough, Tigard, Eugene. I mean, you have support statewide. This isn't a city issue. Ted Wheeler and the city officials have actually been pretty great so far working and being supportive of the efforts of Portland. This is a statewide issue. And I think eventually I'm going to stay optimistic on this. I think there's going to be enough public backlash that the Portland Diamond Project has created enough goodwill with the site information, the stadium renderings. Like, they've gone far enough along the line that I think most people, sports fans at least, have bought in and trust them and understand what they're trying to accomplish. And I think because of that, there's going to be a decent amount of backlash. This to me sounds like tone deaf people when it comes to sports, not realizing the implications and not realizing the negative backlash that it would create for them. And I still think there's a decent chance that this bill is going to get killed, but it'll come down to people sharing that outrage with them. And somebody wants to know, what's the name of the new bill? I haven't found
it's
that
not,
yet.
It's not in the article. It's just looking it up and down.
Because I wanted to respond because you want to write your representative and say, don't support, insert bill here. So
it's Senate Bill 607.
Okay, thank you. Senate Bill 607, which would be to repeal Senate Bill 5, which was what passed in 2003.
There's also a similar bill in the House as well, and that's House Bill 2628. So, House Bill 2628 and Senate Bill 607.
So we'll tweet that out at Dirt and Sprague and say, go write your representative and tell them not to support those.
We'll put that information on both Twitter accounts, the show page and the 1080, the fan one. I reached out to the Portland Diamond Project in hopes that maybe we could have a guest on today. I'm not sure they're quite ready. Maybe they'll talk in a few hours. They're collecting everything, but I got a response. And for people looking maybe for a response from any of the political leaders, Burdick did not call back or respond when the Willamette Weekly ran this story looking for comment. So you know how it goes here. Political leaders don't really want to talk often, especially in a spectrum that's probably going to make them look terrible. A la sports radio. She comes on here and
you're welcome to come on.
Why'd you do this? And she's just going to get lit up by sports fans that think this is stupid. And they're not wrong, but they're going to be wondering, why did you need to do this? And there's probably not going to be much of an answer outside of what you said.
Yeah. Well, they haven't even commented on the Willamette Week articles out. None of them even commented on it.
Yeah.
There's not even a quote behind them of the reason we did this is X, Y, and Z. Here's why we did it. Here's what our thinking was. No explanation whatsoever from any of them.
So a very frustrating story that came out in the WillametteWeek.com, basically saying that political leaders are trying to get rid of Senate Bill 5 and use that money for their budget. And we'll put the information for the bills that they're proposing to call the representatives or email a representative and tell them, hell no, please do not do this. This would be dumb.
Let's jump into the fray, huh? So you got to be engaged.
Where would you put your percentage that you think this dies? Like, where's your confidence level on that?
Right now, I would put it at like 60-40. It gets killed. But it'll go up. If we see some backlash, the other alternative here, too, and I don't think they're ready to do it, would be to do what the Seattle NHL group did, and that was when they started to take season ticket deposits.
Yep.
When they were trying to build it, they didn't have the Key Arena deal done yet, but they were like, we need to show the NHL and show everybody in the city where the support is. And they took, the season ticket deposits, and I think they got 25,000 people or something to sign up right away. That's kind of a next big step. I don't think the Portland Diamond Project's ready for it, but it's another avenue that they could go down to say, because I know how many people would jump in on that. It would be crazy if you did it and you could show both the legislature and Major League Baseball, look how many people are invested in Major League Baseball coming to Portland.
God, man, people just stupid. Just dumb. We'll keep you monitor on that story if we get any new information today. Portland out here in Oregon trying to take away the money. Do you think it would kill the Diamond Project? It feels like it shouldn't, but that's still $150 million. They're already going to be spending how much? Maybe multiple billions?
Yeah, as a guy walks by our studio with a Portland Diamond Project hat. I don't think it would kill them. But I'm sure every estimate and every plan that they put together has counted on this $150 million.
Yeah. Okay, we move on. We're way against it. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan. There's a red house over yonder.
That's where my baby stays. This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. Yeah. There's a red house.
right, welcome back in. 122 on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Hope you're enjoying your Thursday afternoon. As, you know, it's just a bummer to find that out.
It is. It's a bummer when you get news like that. But look, we knew this wasn't going to be easy, and it wasn't going to be just this simple, everybody gets out of the way and allows them to do whatever they want. There's going to be hurdles, and this is just another hurdle for them to overcome.
Worst part's going to be if it actually goes through, they start building the stadium, and people are protesting outside and not allowing it to happen. That's just going to send me over the edge. I'll be done at that point. Get out of here.
Get out.
Okay, we have a lot we're going to get to as we talked Portland Diamond Project. I did see a little note that I'd like to pass along. Breaking news, according to some, Jake Luton's going to be back for a sixth year of college.
Hey, a lot of people go to college for 6 years.
Yeah, they're called almost doctors.
Or Oregon State quarterbacks. Does this move the needle at all for Beaver fan? Is this a big one for Beavs?
Big one, no. I would say my opinion on it, and Beaver fan could disagree, or maybe they do agree. It just solidifies that you should have a reliable backup. Somebody that you can say if something has to happen to Jebbia, because I'll tell you right now, if Jebbia can't beat Luton out in spring ball and fall ball, you've got bigger issues on your hands. So if Jebbia can't beat Luton out, then okay, it's a different conversation. But right now, you'd at least know you have a reliable backup.
Yeah, I think it's good in that regard. I would feel bad for him if he comes back and loses the job and then
he's already lost it.
I know, but
this is a done deal.
He's like, getting
don't let anybody
year.
Tell you different. This is a done deal. This Jebbia kid will play ahead of him.
He better, because I've heard a lot about him. He's the next in line of quarterbacks.
He's a four-star quarterback. If he's not the starter now, what the hell did you bring him in for?
Well, Braxton Burmeister was a four-star recruit. I like him reminding people of that.
We're quarterback you.
Okay.
Terry Baker.
Ah.
Derek Anderson.
Quarterback you know, huh?
Sean Mannion.
Yeah, okay.
Matt Moore.
All right.
Need I go on? John Canfield.
Lyle Moybow.
Jonathan Smith.
All right.
Come on.
Okay, not all four stars are created equal. Noted. I am happy for him, though, that he's getting another year. He doesn't have an NFL future. He's been banged up. He's had some really bad injuries the last couple of years. I mean, didn't he get hurt last year in the first drive of the season at Ohio State?
I believe that is correct.
Like the opening drive, he was like
first
one for
second,
one.
Yeah.
He goes down and he misses a big chunk of time. He had his one moment against Colorado. So, hey, he gets to extend his playing career a little bit, gives you some depth at the position. It's crazy to think that he's been in college since 2014 when he started at Idaho, and he's already at his third school. But good for him getting another year eligibility. This, by the way, in reading up on it, it's a new rule that was just passed recently by the NCAA that essentially says if you missed or if you redshirted your first year in college and then miss at some point what they consider a quote-unquote full year, which I believe is playing less than four games, something along those lines, then you're available for this exception, and he was able to get it.
Yeah, it was weird. I knew he was applying for it, but it just felt like he didn't miss enough time. But as you mentioned with the rules and the stipulations.
Yeah, because that was the thing. It said you had to play in less than four games. He played in more than four games last year. So maybe
he for sure did.
So maybe they don't count the Ohio State game because he only played one series. Maybe you have to play a certain amount in game for it to count as a game.
Like percentage of snaps or something.
I don't know. It's weird. But he's got another year eligibility. So let's rock and roll, Jake Luton.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to transfer. You just hope that he's cool being the backup. And if something is to happen to Jebbia, he knows. He can go in there and he can be the quarterback.
He'd fit right in at BYU. He's going to be like 30 by the time he graduates. he's the new like long lasting guy now, I think, in the state. Like, we've had a few of those where you wonder, like, how does he still have eligibility?
The good thing is he hasn't been a Beaver his whole career, so it doesn't quite feel like he's as old as an EJ Singler.
He started college in 2014, and this is now going to be his third year at Oregon State. Or next year will be his third year, I believe, at OSU.
I remember when he got to OSU, I was like, okay, this guy's 6'6". He's from Idaho.
Got a rocket arm.
He's got a big arm.
Killed it in the junior college ranks.
And he couldn't stay healthy.
And then he broke his back at Wazoo. That was one of the nastier hits.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
That was terrible.
So Jake Luton is going to be back yet again. I don't know if Beaver fan is jacked. I would just more so say they are happy to know they have a backup.
Yes.
Because I saw one reporter, it was like, should make fall ball, spring ball competition very interesting, to which I thought, no, it shouldn't. No, Not at all.
Well, at least you have what can be talked about as a competition.
Be like, Braxton Burmeister's coming back. Let's see if he can challenge Justin Herbert. Like, no, he shouldn't challenge him at all.
No, it's not going to happen.
It's not even quite that level, but no. You get what I'm saying.
I understand your message.
Gosh. Sometimes, man.
All the eggs in the Jevia basket now for Beaver fans.
What else? What other choice do we have? Two wins. Under 2.5 wins. That was... not fun.
Let's go, Jebbia. Hey, the Tate Martell's transferring. Did you see that news today?
We're not going to get him.
There's multiple quarterback news. He's in the transfer portal just like Jalen Hurts.
You know where I would like him to go? And I don't even know if they're interested because maybe they have this next young up-and-coming. Tate Martell at Oklahoma?
They have the, I believe, number one quarterback in the country coming in next year.
Mm.
Yeah, he's expected to play as a true freshman.
So they got the next Trevor Lawrence?
I think his last name's Rattler.
Mm.
Which is a great name.
That's a good Oklahoma quarterback name.
Yeah, he fits the bill, man.
He's like a rat running
around the Rattler. I think that's his last name. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong.
Can we get a quarterback with a mullet rat tail situation?
Yeah, we need that.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be a nice look.
He shows up to the Heisman ceremony with a weird redneck suit on.
Well, the Huskies don't need one, but Tate Martell committed to Washington when he was in eighth grade. And then he decommitted and committed to Texas A&M, and then decommitted and committed to Ohio State, and now he's transferring.
Well, yeah, UW doesn't need him, though. They have four quarterbacks.
They don't need one anymore. I did see Justin Hopkins brought up a good point on Twitter saying, why do programs even recruit quarterbacks anymore? Like, at this point, don't we just wait for 1 year and then let's go scroll through the portal and see who's available?
Well, if Clemson did that, they wouldn't have Trevor Lawrence.
That's true.
And if they have Trevor Lawrence, they wouldn't have.
Because Trevor
Lawrence.
I don't even
think they'd be in the national championship.
Because of Trevor Lawrence, Missouri was able to go into the portal and get themselves a nice little Kelly Bryant.
That's a fair point.
It's all in the portal nowadays, boys. It's all in the portal.
That's a good point. Okay, let's move on. Let's go to the NFL. Could Antonio Brown be out in Pittsburgh? We'll talk about that next on The Fan. We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine.
This is Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, jamming out on a Thursday. Welcome back in. 1:35. We got to make our NFL picks coming up top of the hour.
That we do.
I gained some serious ground last week.
Well, it must be nice when people don't pick because they're on vacation.
See, the fun fact is Swigart actually made his picks, and I made some serious ground on him.
Swag wasn't ahead of me.
No, I don't even know where we are because I missed too much time, so I've lost track. I just know I won the week, and that's all that matters.
Playoffs give you a lot of points,
this
too.
This is it. Nobody cares about regular season. We all get into the playoffs. Now we're here. Who can perform when it matters the most?
Yep.
Is what people want to know. We'll make our NFL picks top of the hour. And also a quick baseball note coming up, crunch time. A little baseball talk, just a little bit.
Well, I really want to dive into this because I saw somebody get mad at some teams, to which I responded, yeah, teams should be continuing to do what they're doing because it makes no sense to go the other way.
Yes.
I do not like that approach.
Yeah, so we'll bring that up coming up. There is a bit of a bombshell going around the NFL today, and it comes from Pittsburgh. Now, this happened when you were gone. I quite enjoyed talking about this story. If you don't remember, Antonio Brown got into a beef with Ben Roethlisberger, apparently at practice on Wednesday of before their game against Cincinnati in week 17. He left practice, didn't show up Thursday, didn't show up Friday, didn't show up Saturday, didn't return texts or calls from anybody, then showed up to the game on Sunday thinking he was going to play and everything would be fine. They, of course, didn't play him because he wasn't there. And then he left the stadium at halftime because he didn't play.
Right.
I couldn't get enough of this story. I was fascinated by it. Well, we've all been wondering, like, what's Pittsburgh going to do with him? And their team president, Art Rooney, came out and talked to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette today. And get what he had to say. He said, quote, "There's not much we can do right now. We have time to make a decision. We'll look at all the options. We're not going to release him. That's not on the table. But I will say all other options are on the table. Whether the situation can be reconciled and have him back on the team next year, we're a long way from thinking that can happen, but we're not closing the door on anything at this point." And that quote has now left everybody wondering, when does Antonio Brown get traded away from Pittsburgh?
Well, sometime soon. I'd imagine he's out of Pittsburgh. He will not be back with them. Why would you want to bring him back too? I know it's
you
easy.
You can at this point,
right?
Can
it's,
you?
It's easy to go, well, because look at his stats. I understand that, but at what point do you start caring about your locker room, about your culture, about what you have established for how many decades now? Yeah. You know, Antonio Brown kind of bucks the trend and the norm of what they have been known as in an organization. It's basically been them in New England this entire century, so yeah. it's them. And then even before that, you had Pittsburgh. Was good in the 90s. They obviously ran the 70s. They're right there with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You just have to continue to be who you are. And allowing Antonio Bryant to get away and do anything he wants. You know, I read a piece on him a few months back. I think it was right at the start of the season or just before. And I thought it was real eye-opening. It was a piece on him where the writer concluded that nobody really knows who Antonio Brown really is. Even his teammates. He shows up to practice in a helicopter or some extravagant form of transportation. He doesn't really have real relationships with any teammates at all. They talk to other people in his life in different relationships, and they all kind of said different things. They're not sure who Antonio Brown, what he's about, and who he really is. And let's not forget, you remember the playoff fiasco a couple years ago on Facebook?
Yeah, Facebook Live, the Tomlin speech.
And Tomlin's in there, and he's raw on his guys, but he drops a line on let's go kick New England's ass or something to that effect. Yeah. Things like that, okay, it happens once in a while, sure. If it continues and then you have this kind of relationship, I know people love numbers. I know we love fantasy football. He is maybe the best wide receiver in the NFL, but you can't compromise your entire organizational philosophy over one guy. So I know it seems impossible, but this is what the NFL teaches us. You can move on with an incredible talent, and eventually you'll replace it with the next young, cheaper talent.
Yeah, they'll find a way to move on. I think, you know, we've killed Odell Beckham at times on this show for being a diva, for being a me guy, for causing the distractions that he does on the sidelines. This to me goes even further than what Odell Beckham has done. And you know, it's one thing to throw temper tantrums and propose to field goal nets or kick field goal nets. It's another to quit on your team when they need you the most. Like, that's the part of the story I can't get over. We can like Antonio Brown or not like him or have your whatever opinion you want on him. It was week 17 of the season. They needed a win over Cincinnati, and they needed a Baltimore loss to get into the playoffs. It was it. Their season came down to that game. And on Wednesday of that game, he just left. You just walk away because you've worked all season since August for this, and you just dip out when you need, and then you show up on Sunday and think everything's going to be fine and you're going to play.
Because you're a little upset about whatever, getting the ball enough.
The rumor reports, too, were one that Ben Roethlisberger wanted him to run some routes over a practice, and he threw a football at him, said, I'm not going to do it, and left. And then the others were that Mike Tomlin named a season offensive MVP, and he gave it to Big Ben.
I believe it. Juju Smith-Schuster also got an award, and that's what really rubbed him the wrong way. I think he got just most valuable player of the team in general.
Sure, and he had a great year.
Yeah, and so he got really upset and kind
God
of rubbed
forbid
the wrong
he have
way.
Any help with Juju Smith-Schuster having a great season?
This is the epitome of a terrible teammate, of just being in your own feelings. And we had a guy from Pittsburgh on when you were out last week, and I wanted to ask him about this, and he said he's been covering the team for a couple of years. And he's seen like a drastic change in the personality of Antonio Brown in the last 2-3 years.
A shock. That's not surprising
at
all.
He went from being a fun-loving guy. Yes. He went from being this, you know, he's so happy and fun to be around, to the last year and a half, really down, really gloomy, not really talkative, really negative person at times.
You know why? It's
because you can't quit on your team, man.
You're 100% right. But the other part is you see this, I think, a lot in sports. You see a player. You know who else has the similar situation is Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler, by all accounts, was a hardworking, grind it out, give his all in every practice, every game, good teammate in Chicago. And then he started becoming Jimmy Butler and how we view him in the NBA, and the ego takes off and everything changes. And suddenly there's this
everywhere he goes, or
I'm
something.
This guy versus what he really is. I'm not shocked at all. I felt like this is what kind of happened to the Legion of Boom. They were not highly thought of players who got drafted a little lower than they wanted to, or guys that came in that weren't talked about quite on that level. And then they had this success and they became the Legion of Boom, and they became one of the preeminent defenses in the NFL in quite some time. And suddenly it was, why is Russell getting the attention? This is about us. Give me the money. Right. Pay me this. Give me that. And you sent a contract 1 year later, they're bitching and moaning. They're not paid the highest at their position. It's just like, I feel like that's normal for a lot of athletes, that they put in the time, they put in the work, they're overlooked, and once they prove that it was a mistake to overlook them, not all of them, but a big portion of them just think, oh, I have this ego now, and there's this chip on the shoulder where I need to be a D to everybody.
Yeah.
And Antonio Brown sounds like he was in that. Wasn't he an undrafted player? Am I wrong on that?
Either undrafted or super late.
Yeah,
I'll look it up. Either that or like a sixth-round pick.
Right, so he wasn't somebody that was highly thought of coming into the NFL. He gets his shot. He does a great job of taking advantage of it. Falls in a great situation in Pittsburgh. And then blows up to the point where Pepsi wants him to advertise and pizza companies want him to advertise. And he starts getting some money, and here you go. It takes right off.
Yeah, he was a sixth-round pick out of Central Michigan.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so Ryan Clark, I don't know if you've seen it. He's been super critical of Antonio Brown. He should be over the last couple of weeks, and they were in the same locker room for a little while.
Yeah.
But there, he said to Pittsburgh executives, you give this guy money, you end up paying him, you're creating a monster. That was his quotes, word for word.
And that was kind of what the story was, too, of I'm not giving an opinion on his family life. It doesn't paint a very good picture of what he's like as a family member. And part of that is the money and being a little greedy and not stepping up to the plate in the way that maybe they should.
Yeah, some text here quickly. The Better You Today text line. Somebody said that would be like me walking off work, not showing up for a while if I didn't get employee of the month. My ass would get fired. That's exactly what it is. Your boss didn't give you enough recognition today, so you're just not going to show up for 4 days. And then when they're calling you and texting you saying, hey, are you coming to work? Are you showing up today? You don't respond. You ignore. And then you show up the next Monday. Somebody had a funny point. One of our P1s had a funny point last week, and I was talking about it. He pulled the Costanza. Remember when Costanza goes off on his boss and he quits?
Mm-hmm.
And then he realizes he regrets the decision, and
so
he shows up on Monday.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? You thought I was serious? Like, he leaves for 3 or 4 days, and then he shows up on game day. Like, hey, guys, I'm ready to play. They look at him like, are you kidding me?
Well, what would happen? I almost wonder if this is the better situation for Pittsburgh. I know they have this expectation of the playoffs, and this is a disappointing year. Was it maybe better for them as a franchise to not make the playoffs? Because then what do they do in their wild card weekend game?
Yeah, how do you play him? Does he stick around? Is he practicing?
The cloud right. Over that team that whole week would be that. It'd be all about Antonio Brown.
Right. Well, remember, this was the third time this year. Now, he went three different times this year. He went AWOL. He just disappeared. Didn't talk to people, didn't text people back, just didn't show. Where's Antonio Brown? We don't know. Is he showing up? Oh, there he is. Hey, Antonio, thanks for. And then he did it again in week 17. So they still have to figure out the contract stipulation because the reporting on it last week was that the way it's worked out, it's going to be a cap hit against them, whether he's on the team or not. So I'm sure there's some wiggle room there. Maybe they can, because he didn't show up for week, practices and stuff, they can try and get out a part of that. But Art Rooney, Steelers president, came out and said everything's on the table. They're not going to cut him. But bringing him back, reconciling it right now, we're a long way from thinking that that could happen. So now everybody's wondering, where is he going to go? We can also play the fun game, just sticking with the football aspect of it. What's the best fit for Antonio Brown?
Well, I was going to transition to, like, all that being said, what team's going to give me Antonio Brown?
Somebody's going to. He's the best wide receiver in the league, of course. Somebody's going to jump at that opportunity.
You could probably name, every team needs an Antonio Brown, but of, like, realistic shots or teams that want to put their hat in the ring. I mean, how many do you think you can get to? 15 to 20 that would say, hey, change of scenery.
Yeah, we'll get to a couple of those. I'll hold the baseball thing for the final hour. And one more valid point here, too, is that after he went AWOL, then on Monday night after that game, he showed up on that new Fox reality show.
What show?
They have that new Masked Singer where it's like you have to guess, the judges have to guess who it is.
Oh, no, that's not live, though.
I know it's not live, but it was like the timing of it. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, it aired the day after the game when this was all going down and all the reports were out there.
He might have filmed that months ago.
He probably did. It just was funny with the timing of it. So we'll read some of your thoughts, wrap up this Antonio Brown talk and crunch time NFL picks coming up top of the hour. And then in the final hour, we'll get to how much are Manny Machado and Bryce Harper worth? If you had all the money in the world to spend on him, what would you give him? Because some of the numbers out there are ridiculous. We'll get to that. Still a lot to get to. Crunch time next on The Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. NFL picks coming up top of the hour. Anybody make it to the Glorious House of Gaines today? Attaboy.
Yeah, I'm raising my hand.
Attaboy. Joe, what about you?
Joe, do you work out? You're not a very big guy.
Oh, thanks, dude. No, I don't work out.
No, I mean, like, you're
that
not...
That could be seen as a compliment. Yeah, I mean, like, you're not fat or anything.
Oh, well, I'll take that for sure.
But I feel like you don't exercise.
No, I don't. I go on walks.
Cool.
No, I don't
work
out.
Walking is better than doing nothing.
It is.
We shouldn't diminish walking.
I stand a lot at my other job and, you know, kind of just do figure eights all day. So get that step counter up.
Figure eight.
Update. Okay. I did call the, what would you call her? The Senate Majority?
Yes, Senate Majority Leader.
Jenny Burdick?
Yes.
Called her office during the commercial break. I was told she is not in.
Okay, not in the office.
But I gave my name and my cell phone number and told her we would like an interview request with her to talk about her repeal of Senate Bill 5.
Yeah.
Because we're a sports show.
If you missed that today, the Oregon House, the State House and State Senate are trying to pass bills to repeal Senate Bill 5, which was passed in 2003, that would give $150 million in taxed player income to stadium efforts, MLB to Portland efforts, that kind of stuff. And the Portland Diamond Project has been counting on that money. They're trying to repeal it. Keep up. We've had a lot of listeners tweet her and then, like, tag us in the tweet. Keep it up. We're building some buzz, so keep sending them. We'll retweet them and stuff, and we'll try and get to the bottom of it.
You know who else could help in this? How about Ted Wheeler?
Yeah, that's a great point.
He was vocal and supportive of the Portland Diamond Project after clearly learning that it was going to help and finding out everything he needed to find out. It could really help if he maybe made a couple phone calls to the direct cell phones and just said, hey, let's have a talk about this. That's not the direction to go.
Well, and I think that got back to the point I was trying to bring up earlier, too, where people who have a vested interest in it come out and talk about the positives of it.
I'd imagine the Portland Diamond Project has probably already been on the phone with Ted Wheeler to say, hey, what can we do to squash this? This needs to stop.
Yeah, come out, do a press conference and say, look at all the positives it can create. It's going to be an entertainment. Think of the jobs it'll create, the new tax revenue with the player's salary, all the extra income, the events that you could host. Like, just come out and talk about all the positives of it, and then maybe you'll get a change in kind of that discourse and conversation. So keep those tweets coming. We've had a lot of fun retweeting them, and we'll still continue to effort getting both somebody on from the Portland Diamond Project and from the Oregon legislature. We were talking about Art Rooney's comments, president of the Steelers, about a lot of people reading between the lines saying they're going to trade Antonio Brown. And a listener has floated an idea, and I will ask you both, would you accept this trade on either side of it? I mean, I'd imagine Pittsburgh would.
Mm-hmm.
The number one overall pick.
Why would Arizona do that?
For Antonio Brown.
No.
Are you going to get somebody better at number one than Antonio Brown?
You could.
Better than the best wide receiver in the NFL?
You could have maybe the best pass rusher in the NFL.
Would you rather have the best pass rusher or the best wide receiver in the NFL?
Pass rusher.
Oh.
Because if my quarterback develops right, I can do it without needing the best wide receiver in the NFL. Versus my quarterback has no bearing on my pass rushing.
Yeah.
You paired Bosa with Chandler Jones. That's not a bad little combination.
I'd consider that one. I don't know if you would
jump
have to
out
get
of
something
one
else.
For Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, he's that kind of a difference-making player. Where look, you're going to deal with the head case.
They won without
stuff.
Him in their pivotal game at the end of the year.
Well, it wasn't pretty against Cincinnati and Jeff Driscoll.
Pretty.
They were down like 10-0 in that game and had a miracle comeback. And I think they either needed to make a field goal or Cincinnati to miss a field goal to win at
it
the end.
It was close,
something along those lines.
And then they watched the Browns try to beat the Ravens
on the
Jumbotron.
So that's one that's been thrown out. Seattle's always interested in wide receivers, but I don't think they would take on that kind of salary after they just dumped all their money last offseason and still have the Russell Wilson deal on the books.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Seattle is that place. Does it feel like the Seahawks want to take on that contract and bring him into that locker room?
What about Cleveland? Pair him with Jarvis Landry? Keep him in the division. I don't know if they'd want to trade him within the division.
I don't think Pittsburgh would want to see him twice a year. Also,
you imagine that 1-2 combo on the outside.
Look, here's the thing about Antonio Brown. Is he phenomenal at his job? Yes, he is when he plays and he's locked in. Do you want to commit that money to him? Do you want your team to say, yep, we're going to go on the books with that guy? Because what if there's a chance he does this again with a new team?
It's a big risk.
It's going to look dumb.
It's the Jimmy Butler risk. Should you get him? Is he a locker room cancer? Can he overcome this stuff?
There's a lot of Blazers in the NFL that should say yes and take a chance. I'm just playing the other side of this could really backfire and suddenly you're committed to a lot of money.
Right. Let's see. I'm trying to think of other teams who have cap space for next year. What about Indy? Put him with Andrew Luck?
The Indy one's interesting. Because, you know, they've also been tied to Le'Veon Bell, but they have. Response to that, and I was talking to a Colts fan I know, why do they need to sign Le'Veon Bell?
Yeah, I wouldn't. With the running back situation they have now, I wouldn't do that.
Marlon Mack is showing that if you can block for him, he's perfectly fine as a running back. Is Le'Veon better? Sure, but is he so much better that it's worth spending that money versus saving it and putting it in other positions? Indy could be a good one, but would you rather spend the money on D? I don't know. I just, when you're talking about the NFL, you're talking about a lot of cheap people, and the salary cap, even though it continues to go up a little bit every year, don't you want to spend a lot of this money on areas that could help the most? Like, yeah. How much would that money be spent on defense help you more than bringing in one player for Luck?
Yeah, it's a philosophical question they have to answer. And, of course, the one team that everybody's been connected to because he had the tweet to Kittle is San Francisco. He's already been connected, and I think he had an Instagram post or an Instagram story thing with something 49er related, so that's a team you got to keep an eye on. People have texted in Green Bay. I don't see that one fitting. Him and Aaron Rodgers would be crazy good together, but just the culture there and them trading
away,
imagine guys.
That Diva Fest in Green Bay?
Right.
Him with Rodgers?
So there's one. What else did we got? I wanted to read a cut on another thought here. Somebody said, I'd give up a lower first-round draft pick for him, but he regressed a little bit this year. He's almost 30 years old, elite wide receiver, probably 2-3 years left. Guys like Jordy Nelson and many others fall off a cliff pretty fast.
Yeah.
That's a question. I mean, you have to ask yourself, how much time does he have left as well playing at that high of a level? So fun conversation. Antonio Brown's likely going to be on the move after Art Rooney comes out, talks about it. So they're not going to cut him, but seeing a reconciliation between the two sides is hard to envision at this point for Pittsburgh.
He'll be on he'll have a hit of around cap hit at 22 next year.
Yeah.
So
you got to find teams with cap space because that's not easy to wiggle in.
Yeah. 22 next year and 18.3 the year after that. With an out potentially, and if that doesn't happen, it's capped of 19.5.
What if he and Le'Veon Bell go to my boy Johnny Gruden in Oakland? Let's go. Sign me up.
They're somehow going to end up worse. They're somehow going to get worse.
Only win two games next year. There you go. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments. Coming up in the final hour, we have a stalemate once again in the Major League Baseball offseason. Is it because Manny Machado and Bryce Harper are asking for too much money? One national MLB writer says it's laughable that more teams aren't in and wanting to throw their lot at the two-star players. We'll get to that coming up at 2:30. We got some poll questions to answer, but it is a Thursday, so we will start in the National Football League with our Pro Football Challenge. Who is winning and losing in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs? Start the final hour there next on 1080 The Fan.